actually, this segment we have in studio with us an attorney. Well, we have Sapphire Blackwood, who works with Green Capital Ventures also? No.
Yes.
Okay, so that's your firm. And you are a business attorney, a cannabis business attorney, not criminal defense.
I'm actually technically a lawyer. I graduated law school, but didn't end up taking the bar.
Gotcha.
A little too busy with
everything else.
Everything else, yeah.
Wonderful. And can we give your website? Do you want to give a website?
Or? Sure. www.greencapitalventures.com. And then again, I also work for Gridiron Cannabis.
Gotcha.
So that's actually how I met Hua.
And you're based in San Diego. And then on the line with us, we have David Hua, who goes by Hua. And David is CEO and co-founder of an organization called Meadow. So Hua, thanks for being on the show. Welcome.
Our pleasure. Thank you very much. Yeah.
So let's see. Let's start with your organization. Give us some of your background, Hua, and what does Meadow do? What do you plan to accomplish?
Sure. So Meadow started a couple years ago. We build technology in the cannabis space. So how that manifests itself currently is, one, being able to help patients get safe and reliable access to medical cannabis, usually in the form of delivery at getmeadow.com. And then the second is for patients that don't have a recommendation or need an evaluation, we have MeadowMD, which allows them to get an evaluation from the comfort of their home online.
Yes. Now, to get a medical marijuana card, I guess you help us, you assist people with that process, right?
Yep. We connect them with licensed physicians in California.
Gotcha.
Gotcha.
So, well, how's it going? I mean, when did you launch and how are you progressing?
Things are going really well. I think we launched in October 2014. Mm-hmm. And ever since we sort of got on, a lot of momentum has been moving forward on decriminalization across the country, on legalization on the medical side as well. There are 25 states that have it. And on the adult use side, which there are 4 states that currently have it. In California, we're around 38% of zip codes that we cover. And we're expected to vote on legalization at the adult use level sometime in November.
Gotcha. So the physician's card that's required, is that just in California or do all the other states require that?
All those states require it. However, the qualifying conditions are a little bit different. California is the first state that had medical marijuana, medical cannabis in 1996. So we've been at it for a lot longer and our conditions are more open.
Gotcha. So let's see. Sapphire, what's been your experience? How did you cross paths with GetMeadow.com?
Actually, Hua reached out to the Gridiron Cannabis website, and I reached back out to him. I think I apologized to him for taking so long to actually get back to him, and he said, oh, thank you for actually getting back to me.
Yeah.
He wanted to partner up because Hua focuses on medical cannabis, and obviously that's what we do with research and development with our former NFL players.
Yeah. Well, I know in 96, California passed Prop 215, which made first legalized medical marijuana, right? Were we the first state to do that?
Yes.
Gotcha. And then all of a sudden, it seemed like there was a big crackdown from the federal level about this when it had already been approved for treating chronic pain, spasticity, you know, glaucoma, arthritis, migraines. And I think that might have been during the... I hate to cast aspersion on any particular administration, but I think during the Bush administration, they cracked down on a lot of that, right?
Yeah, unfortunately, a lot of crackdowns happening at the farmer level. People in Northern California have suffered a lot from the hands of the federal government and the DEA.
Yeah, I was wondering. I mean, the state of California had approved it, and yet we have the feds come crashing down on us. So it was kind of confusing at that time. But things are getting a little more uniform and organized now, aren't they? Or
yeah, I mean, well, we basically have a set of laws that just passed the beginning of this year, a medical, it's called MCRSA, mm-hmm. the Medical Cannabis Regulation Safety Act.
Mm-hmm.
And so this actually puts together a more robust framework for how medical cannabis should be regulated in California. Before it was Prop 215 and SB 420, which is a little bit more in the gray area because it's based off of the collective model. But with MCRSA, we should have more protection and more clear guidelines on how to operate starting in 2018.
And as far as tax revenue, I asked one of the prior guests, and he wasn't entirely sure, but like Colorado, how much money the state is reaping in on these things? And I guess the other states too, right? Washington. And you have any numbers for us or off the top
of
your head?
I mean, are you in 2015 or last?
Yeah.
I mean, sales last year was almost $1 billion in Colorado.
You're
and it was like 996. It was like super close to reaching a billion.
All right, let's call it a billion. And so how much does the state make on that?
About $135
million
in taxes.
Wow.
So what's crazy is about $35 million of that went to schools. And this was actually higher than the amount that they earmarked. So they had more money, more tax revenue than what they had to do, you know, than to do it. So they gave it, they had the option of giving it back to the residents. But the residents said, no, just keep it, give it back to the school.
I'm surprised the rate is that low. That's about 13.5%, you're telling me, right, basically?
Mm-hmm.
Huh. I'm I would thought it would be a little higher than that, but I'm surprised. So, but still, that's a lot of new revenue for the state, you know. And
yeah, but, I mean, from 2014, it was only $76 million. So we're looking at almost doubling from 2014 to 2015.
Huh.
For Colorado. Yeah.
So what's the projection for California, you think? I mean, we should be able to...
I mean, we're currently at, I think it's like $2.4 billion, but it might be like $5 or $6 billion moving forward the next couple of years, and then legalization happens. So we'll see. I mean, most markets have 5X'd overnight. We don't know what California is going to do, but... You know, it's not in the bag yet. There's still a vote to be to happen in November, and we're really hopeful that, you know, people go out and vote for it.
Gotcha. Now, does GetMedical.com, is that, do you serve all the states where marijuana is legal or just California?
We're just in California.
Gotcha.
I mean, California is the sixth largest economy.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, it's where we believe... have the most impact.
There you go. Anyway, we've got to take a little break. We're back with Hua and Sapphire Blackwood right after this. Hang on. All right. Good Hawaiian music there, Justin. We're back with Sapphire Blackwood and Hua up in San Francisco with GetMedical.com, who helps people get their medical marijuana cards. And Sapphire, just to reiterate, she does community outreach for Gridiron Cannabis, and she works as a senior associate in the cannabis consulting and investment firm here in San Diego. And anyways, let's talk about the football players. We were talking at the break a little bit. So I guess there's some movement afoot amongst the NFL players. What did you want to mention about that, Hua, with the player and all that?
Oh, well, I think what you're finding, NFL players are speaking out against NFL and trying to get medical cannabis as something that they could use. So you've had former NFL players really step forward, and that's what Sapphire, that's what actually I reached out to Sapphire in the beginning. I saw Kyle Turley and Ricky Williams doing some community outreach on it, but now you're seeing some existing players speak out.
Was Ricky, who was the player he suffered? I'm thinking of Terrell Davis. He had suffered with migraine headaches and he was playing in the Super Bowl, for God's sake. But when you think about it, you know, opiates versus for pain, you know, opiates versus cannabis, I think even the, you know, someone who just doesn't have much knowledge about it, the average layperson would say, you know, I think the cannabis would be the safer choice, right?
Yeah. I would totally agree. I mean, opiates are a huge problem. 47,000 people overdosed last year on opiates and painkillers, whereas, you cannot overdose on cannabis.
And going off that, every legal medical state has decreased their opiate overdose.
And that's a huge, huge problem. And I think we do have to lay some of the blame at the feet of the medical industry out there. In the abuse of prescription drugs, and that's where most of the problems come in. With even amongst youth, they go into their parents' cabinet and find things in there and start experimenting. Is that pretty much typical, Sapphire? Would you say? Or?
I mean, we also strongly advocate against opiate use, trying to figure out an alternative. And that's kind of one of the points of Gridiron Cannabis, is to research medical cannabis, not only for, neurological benefits and to reduce pain or as a pain management, but also to get people off opiates and the dangers of using opiates, especially when these concussion injuries can mess up these guys' brains and the way they act. We see a lot of violence and other forms of depression, and a lot of guys end up committing suicide, which is also a big problem in the veteran community.
Yes. I was just going to mention there's probably some overlap there with the veteran community that can probably get some beneficial use from this. So, I'm looking on the Normal website, and folks, you should get over there and check it out. They're norml.org. They've been around since 1970, and also, a ton of information about what's going on and chapters and whatnot. I'm more of a libertarian. I don't partake, but I think if there's enough medical evidence out there that people will get benefit from cannabis, then who am I to say, don't do that? Obviously, it's, that compared to alcohol. I mean, you could make the argument that alcohol has done a lot more damage in terms of, violent crime, accidents, everything else, versus marijuana. But I'm sure there's data going on, all social scientists coming down with data all the time, right, Sapphire, about this?
It's seeming a lot of violent crimes end up going down after the legalization of cannabis and legal states and medical states. It's a valuable data as well as research that we're getting from these states that have legalized.
Good, good, good. Well, now you and Hua wanted to talk about an event, an LGBT event you had last month or
when? Actually on Friday.
Oh, okay, Friday.
Yeah.
Tell us what happened. What did you want to tell us about that, Sapphire?
I kind of wanted to start this LGBTQ outreach within the cannabis industry. I know they're fairly integrated in history, but not in practice. And when you said Prop 215 in 1996, it was actually San Francisco in the Castro District that passed the first that legalized the first ever medical cannabis dispensary in San Francisco back in 91.
Because it helped people with wasting disease, and it helped people with, no appetites, and, you need to eat. And so not to mention all the other benefits from it, but that was one of the triggering events, right?
Right. The HIV/AIDS epidemic, actually, George Bush Sr.'s administration shut down, I can't remember the federal act that it was called, but they used the name Compassion Care. Through that federal act, people were actually allowed to receive cannabis as a medication through federal law. When the HIV/AIDS epidemic started in the 80s, 90s, back then it was still called gay cancer. And a lot of people didn't like the fact that these gay men were able to receive medical cannabis as a treatment. And some see that as a reason why that administration shut down that compassionate care program.
Huh. Well, that's unfortunate. But So
Hua was nice enough. I've reached out to him. We had chatted before about Gridiron and see how we can collaborate. And I reached out and said, hey, why don't we do a Pride event? SF Pride was this past weekend. I'm going to go up there anyway. I think we can do a party out of this. And Hua was amazing, said, let's do it at our headquarters. It was awesome. Hua, you want to tell a little bit more about how the party went?
Yeah, it was great. I mean, we also had Brownie Mary group a part of it. And what's cool is the Brownie Mary group was basically started because of Brownie Mary Rastun, who was one of the first people that was helping the HIV epidemic by giving brownies to these HIV patients in, back before like 91. And so there's a group and a bunch of different chapters across the state that have basically taken their values and spreading that to make sure that patients have access, but also they're pretty involved in the legalization movement now too.
Huh. I'm looking up the Brownie Mary. Apparently she passed away in 99, but she was a big advocate for many, many years, right?
Huge.
Yeah.
I mean, she went to jail for it and then she got out. And I mean, all she wanted to do was alleviate the pain of these patients, and making these brownies really sort of gave her status and working with Dennis Perone on initially Prop P, which was allowing buyers clubs to happen in 91.
Someone ought to do a documentary. Maybe you should do a film or documentary on her if it hasn't been done already.
A musical.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of crazy, right? Like you have these, these giants that we look at that really paved the way for all of this.
Yeah.
Her, Dennis Perone, Harvey Milk.
Yeah, I just did a big show on Madge Costanza. It took till 1977 until there was a woman in the White House as an advisor to a president. She advised Jimmy Carter. Everyone stands on the shoulders of these pioneers. You know, Muhammad Ali, the ones when they're going against the tide. These are the people that really need our admiration, I think.
Absolutely.
But yeah, you should talk amongst your peers up there and see if you can get a film or documentary, because to be honest with you, until you just mentioned her name, I'm ignorant. I did not know of Brownie Mary, but I'm looking on Wikipedia and I'm thoroughly impressed. So mm-hmm. more people need to know, basically.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that was kind of our point with having this Pride party. Obviously, it was a good time. People showcased their products and everything else. We hung out at HUA's headquarters in SoMa District in San Francisco. So it was a good time overall, but much needed education.
So HUA, you're and Sapphire, you can weigh in too, but as far as, because we only have about a minute left, but the atmosphere in Sacramento, does it look like this is going to get passed? I guess there's large, public support, but what do you think amongst legislators? Do you think there's favorability? How's Gavin?
Yeah, I mean,
how about Gavin Newsom on this?
Gavin Newsom was great. He was at the NCIA, the National Cannabis Summit, last week, and he spoke as a keynote. Mm-hmm. And, I think where Gavin's coming from, he sees this as a really great way for small businesses and farmers to create something for themselves. Mm. And he believes in that, access. I think the legislators have been pretty open about creating a framework. I think a lot of the time they were just trying to gather context on how all this is working. But MRSA, now it's MCRSA, is going through and there's some cleanup language. And, right after that, now it's being handed over to the regulators and there's 12 different groups managing that. So we'll see what type of roles they come up with.
Anyway, we've got to wrap it right there. HUA, thanks so much for being our guest. GetMetal.com will be on our website. And thank you, Sapphire Blackwood with Green Cannabis Ventures, for being our guest.